Welcome to So Ordered, where we create audio readings of SCOTUS decisions to make them more accessible to the public. At the time of creating this podcast, the Supreme Court of the United States does not release audio of the court's decisions. Our mission is to make it so the public can be better informed on decisions of the court by using AI to generate audio of written opinions. The case before us today is Bovey United States, docket number 245438, decided January 9, 2026. Before reading the opinion itself, here is a brief summary of the case and the questions presented. Michael Bowe is serving a 24-year federal sentence after pleading guilty in 2008 to three offenses, including using a firearm in relation to a crime of violence, a conviction that carried a mandatory 10-year sentence to be served consecutively to his sentence for the robbery offenses. Years later, this court issued decisions calling into question whether either of his predicate offenses still qualifies as a crime of violence, and thus whether his firearm conviction can stand. Bowe repeatedly sought permission from the 11th Circuit to file a second or successive motion for post-conviction relief under Section 2255, but his requests were denied, in part under a provision known as the Old Claim Bar, and the courts of appeals are divided over whether that bar applies to federal prisoners at all. The questions presented were, first, whether Title 28 United States Code, Section 2244b1, applies to a claim presented in a second or successive motion to vacate under Title 28 United States Code, Section 2255. Second, whether Title 28 United States Code, Section 2244, Subsection B, Paragraph 3, Subparagraph E, deprives this court of cert jurisdiction over the grant or denial of an authorization by a court of appeals to file a second or successive motion to vacate under Title 28 United States Code, Section 2255. The court held, first, the court has jurisdiction to hear the case, because Section 2244B paragraph 3, subparagraph E, does not bar this court's review of a federal prisoner's request to file a second or successive motion to vacate under Section 2255. That cert bar is housed within Section 2244, which imposes several strict requirements that apply only to state prisoners, and it speaks only to a second or successive application, whereas federal prisoners file motions, not applications. Second, Section 2244B paragraph 1's old claim bar does not apply to second or successive motions filed by federal prisoners under Section 2255. By its plain terms, that provision governs only habeas corpus applications filed by state prisoners under Section 2254, and Section 2255's cross-reference to Section 2244 incorporates only the procedures for how a panel of the Court of Appeals certifies a filing, not the old claim bar. The judgment of the 11th Circuit was vacated, and the case remanded. Justice Sotomayor delivered the opinion of the court, in which Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Kagan, Kavanaugh, and Jackson joined. Justice Jackson filed a concurring opinion. Justice Gorsuch filed a dissenting opinion, in which Justices Thomas and Alito joined, and in which Justice Barrett joined as to Part 1. As a reminder, the audio is an AI-generated reading of a published opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States. The voice you will hear has been synthesized to loosely resemble that of the justice that wrote the opinion. All tone, inflection, pacing, and emphasis are produced by the AI model and should not be attributed to any justice. The text itself has been lightly adapted to aid in the creation of the spoken delivery. There are two notes specific to this episode. First, the AI model added an occasional accent to the speaker that could not be fully removed. We apologize for this and will work to improve for the next opinion from this justice. Second, the word certiorari would not generate consistently across the reading. To improve the listening experience, we use the word cert as the commonly accepted spoken shortening of the original word. This is a project to attempt to make court decisions more accessible to the public, and any substantive changes during the reading are completely unintentional. Please visit www.supremecourt.gov to read the opinion published by the court. You can find a link directly to the opinion in this episode's description. As the audio is AI-generated, you may hear some audio glitches, including odd pronunciation, noticeable pauses, or repeated words. We do our best to remove these and hope any remaining glitches do not impact your listening experience. The following is the opinion of the court in Bovey, United States.
Congress has created a comprehensive scheme to address when and how state and federal prisoners can seek post-conviction relief in federal courts. a state prisoner can file an application for a writ of habeas corpus under Title 28 United States Code, Section 2254. A federal prisoner, by contrast, can file a motion to vacate, set aside, or correct a sentence under Section 2255. Each provision contains its own procedural and substantive requirements that an individual must satisfy. This case concerns the more complicated situation when a prisoner returns to federal court after a prior attempt for relief has failed. In this situation, Congress has enlisted the courts of appeals to play a gatekeeping role in the consideration of second or successive filings brought by federal and state prisoners. Under this system, before a prisoner can bring such a filing in a district court, a court of appeals must certify that the filing meets certain threshold conditions. Section 2044 governs authorization requests made by state prisoners, and Section 2055H, in turn, governs requests made by federal prisoners. The two have distinct requirements, but through a limited cross-reference in Section 2255H to Section 2244 for how a filing is certified by a panel, Congress has borrowed certain of the procedures that apply to state prisoners and applies them to federal prisoners, too. This case presents two questions regarding which aspects of Section 2244 fall within the scope of Section 2255H's cross-reference. The first is whether Section 2244B, which prohibits the denial of an authorization by a court of appeals to file a second or successive application from being the subject of a petition for a writ of cert, bars this court's review of authorization decisions concerning the motions of federal prisoners. If it does, this court would lack jurisdiction to hear this case. The court holds that it does not. In the narrow cross-reference to the procedures in Section 2244, Congress has not clearly indicated that it intended to incorporate Section 2244B's cert bar. The second question is whether Section 2244B, which directs courts to dismiss a claim presented in a second or successive habeas corpus application under Section 2254 that was presented in a prior application, applies to motions filed by federal prisoners. It does not. Section 2244B, by its express terms, applies only to state prisoners' habeas applications under Section 2254, not to federal prisoners' motions under Section 2255. Petitioner Michael S. Bowe is in federal custody. In 2008, he pleaded guilty to three offenses: conspiracy to commit Hobbs Act robbery, attempt to commit Hobbs Act robbery, and the use, carrying, brandishing, or discharge of a firearm in relation to a crime of violence. Bowe received a 24-year sentence. 10 of those years were imposed because of the Section 924C conviction, which carried a mandatory 10-year sentence consecutive to the sentence for the predicate robbery offenses. Bowe did not appeal. In the decades since, this court has issued several decisions that have called Bowe's Section 924C conviction into question. To appreciate the implications of those decisions, it is important first to understand how Section 924C operates. Section 924C applies if, as relevant here, an individual commits a qualifying crime of violence with a firearm. A crime of violence, in turn, is defined in two ways. Under the Elements Clause, it is a felony that has as an element the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against the person or property of another. Under the Residual Clause, it is a felony that, by its nature, involves a substantial risk that physical force against the person or property of another may be used in the course of committing the offense. For Bowe to have been properly convicted under Section 924C, and thus to have received the accompanying 10-year consecutive sentence, his conviction for either conspiracy or attempt to commit Hobbs Act robbery must qualify as a crime of violence under either the Elements or Residual Clause. Today, it is likely that neither clause would permissibly support Bowe's Section 924C conviction. In United States v. Davis, decided in 2019, this court held that the residual clause is unconstitutionally vague. In United States v. Taylor, decided in 2022, the court held that attempted Hobbs Act robbery does not qualify as a crime of violence under the elements clause. 11th Circuit precedent is also clear that conspiracy to commit Hobbs Act robbery does not satisfy the elements clause. If sentenced today, therefore, Bowe likely would not be subject to the 10-year mandatory consecutive sentence that he is now serving. Nevertheless, the timing of this court's decisions, coupled with the timing of Bowe's efforts to take advantage of them, have produced procedural complications that have so far prevented relief, leading to this appeal. Bowe, acting pro se, initially sought post-conviction relief under Section 2255 in 2016. Before the court decided Davis, arguing that the residual clause is unconstitutionally vague, a district court rejected Bowe's claim in part because, regardless of the residual clause's constitutionality, attempted Hobbs Act robbery qualified as a crime of violence under Section 924C's Elements Clause. After Davis was decided in 2019, Bowe sought permission from the 11th Circuit to file a second or successive motion. A three-judge panel declined to authorize Bowe's motion. Although the panel acknowledged that Davis had announced a new, retroactive rule of constitutional law, which is one of two grounds on which a second or successive motion can proceed, it held that Bowe could not make a prima facie showing that his Section 924C conviction and sentence were unconstitutional because under then-prevailing 11th Circuit precedent, attempted Hobbs Act robbery still qualified as a crime of violence under the Elements Clause. Then, after Taylor was decided in 2022, Bowe once again sought permission from the 11th Circuit to file a second or successive motion. This time, Bowe argued that under Davis and Taylor, none of his convictions qualified as a predicate crime of violence. A three-judge panel dismissed the part of Bowe's request that rested on Davis, reasoning that because the claim was presented in a prior application to file a second or successive motion, the panel lacked jurisdiction over it under Section 2244B. The panel also denied the part of Bowe's request that rested on Taylor, concluding that Taylor did not announce a new constitutional rule as needed to secure relief under Section 2255H. Bowe did not stop there. A few months later, he again sought authorization to file a second or successive motion, again relying on Davis and Taylor. This time, Bowe also moved for initial hearing en banc. As relevant, he asked the 11th Circuit to overturn its precedent, holding that Section 2244B's old claim bar applies to federal prisoners' successive Section 2255 motions. In Bowe's view, that bar applies only to state prisoners, not federal prisoners like him. A three-judge panel dismissed Bowe's request for authorization, citing Section 2244B, and the 11th Circuit denied Bowe's motion for initial hearing en banc. Bowe then moved for an original writ of habeas corpus in this court. It was denied. Bowe returned to the 11th Circuit seeking authorization, initial hearing en banc, and certification of the question whether Section 2244B applies to federal prisoners. As before, a three-judge panel dismissed Bowe's request for authorization, relying on Section 2244B. The panel also declined to certify the question Bowe requested, and the full 11th Circuit denied his motion for initial hearing en banc. Finally, Bowe filed a petition for a writ of cert. The 11th Circuit is one of six circuits that apply Section 2244B's old claim bar to federal prisoners. Three circuits do not. The court granted cert to resolve the issue. As a threshold matter, The government argues that the court cannot resolve the circuit split concerning Section 2244B's old claim bar because the court lacks jurisdiction to hear the case under Section 2244B. That provision states that the denial of an authorization by a court of appeals to file a second or successive application shall not be the subject of a petition for a writ of cert. See Hawaii v. Office of Hawaiian Affairs, decided in 2009, holding that, before turning to the merits, we first must address our jurisdiction. If Bo were in state custody, then the government would be correct. He is not. Section 2244B does not prevent the court's review because the cert bar does not clearly apply to motions filed by federal prisoners like Bo. In the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996, AEDPA, Congress established a gatekeeping mechanism for the consideration of second or successive filings in the federal courts. The associated procedural and substantive requirements are stringent. State prisoners looking to file a second or successive application must comply with Section 2244B, which provides in relevant part. Before a second or successive application permitted by this section is filed in the district court, the applicant shall move in the appropriate court of appeals for an order authorizing the district court to consider the application. A motion in the Court of Appeals for an order authorizing the District Court to consider a second or successive application shall be determined by a 3-judge panel of the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals may authorize the filing of a second or successive application only if it determines that the application makes a prima facie showing that the application satisfies the requirements of this subsection. The Court of Appeals shall grant or deny the authorization to file a second or successive application not later than 30 days after the filing of the motion. The grant or denial of an authorization by a Court of Appeals to file a second or successive application shall not be appealable and shall not be the subject of a petition for rehearing or for a writ of cert. A district court shall dismiss any claim presented in a second or successive application that the Court of Appeals has authorized to be filed unless the applicant shows that the claim satisfies the requirements of this section. By comparison, a federal prisoner seeking to file a second or successive motion must satisfy Section 2255H. That provision states in full, a second or successive motion must be certified as provided in Section 2244 by a panel of the appropriate Court of Appeals to contain newly discovered evidence that, if proven and viewed in light of the evidence as a whole, would be sufficient to establish by clear and convincing evidence that no reasonable fact finder would have found the movant guilty of the offense. Or a new rule of constitutional law made retroactive to cases on collateral review by the Supreme Court that was previously unavailable. Unlike the provisions governing authorization decisions for state prisoners, Section 2255H does not mention this court's cert jurisdiction, let alone purport to limit it. Nor does Section 2244B readily apply to federal prisoners on its face. Section 2244 overall imposes several strict requirements that apply only to state prisoners with the aim of facilitating finality, and the cert bar in particular speaks to second or successive applications which federal prisoners do not file. Whether the court has jurisdiction, therefore, turns on the scope of Section 2255H's cross-reference to Section 2244. In the government's view, the cross-reference captures all of Sections 2244B, including the cert bar in the section. Although the government is correct that the cross-reference incorporates some of the provisions it identifies, the government is wrong that it also incorporates the cert bar. That is because the cross-reference, coupled with its context, does not provide the clear indication needed to strip this court of jurisdiction. This court has cert jurisdiction over any case in the courts of appeals upon the petition of any party to any civil or criminal case. before or after rendition of judgment or decree. Given that broad grant of jurisdiction, Congress must speak clearly if it seeks to impose exceptions to that jurisdiction. In Castro v. United States, decided in 2003, Castro, a federal prisoner, filed a motion for post-conviction relief in federal district court. He had previously filed a motion, pro se, attacking his conviction, but he had not specifically labeled it as a Section 2255 motion. The district court construed Castro's previous filing as his first Section 2255 motion, and the second filing before it as a second Section 2255 motion. Because Castro did not receive authorization from the Court of Appeals before filing the second motion, the court dismissed it. The court, however, granted Castro a certificate of appealability as to its determination that the motion was his second one. The Court of Appeals later affirmed the dismissal. This court granted cert to address the recharacterization of Castro's first filing. The court also asked the parties whether Section 2244B barred its review. Like here, the government argued that it did. In the government's view, the Court of Appeals had denied Castro authorization when it affirmed the district court's dismissal, making that denial the subject of his petition for cert for the purposes of Section 2244B. The court accepted that characterization of the proceedings below for the sake of argument, yet disagreed that Section 2244B posed a bar to its review. That was because the subject of Castro's petition was not the denial of authorization, but rather the lower court's refusal to recognize that the Section 2255 motion was his first, not his second. As relevant here, the court stressed a fatal flaw with the government's argument. As it explained, reading the statute as the government suggested to bar jurisdiction in that case would close our doors to a class of habeas petitioners seeking review without any clear indication that such was Congress's intent. In Hertz Corporation v. Friend, decided in 2010, we declined to read silence or ambiguous language as modifying or limiting the court's pre-existing cert jurisdiction. That conclusion was also difficult to reconcile with the basic principle that we read limitations on our jurisdiction to review narrowly, because a clear indication was necessary in Castro to strip the court of jurisdiction. A clear indication is required here. The issue arises in the same context, and the government argues that the very same provision bars the court's review in this case. This clear indication, importantly, is not a so-called magic words requirement. It simply asks whether the text and structure support the unambiguous understanding that Congress intended to prevent this court's exercise of its cert jurisdiction. If a provision can reasonably be read multiple ways given its content and context, it is not sufficiently clear. The dissent contends that this clear indication requirement comes from thin air. As just explained, however, it comes from Castro itself. It also draws support from this court's historical practice of declining to read ambiguous statutes to limit its cert jurisdiction, which even the dissent acknowledges. The dissent also argues that this clear indication requirement must be mistaken because it is not derived from principles of constitutional avoidance. Constitutional avoidance, however, is not the only possible source of a rule like Castro's. This court also has required Congress to speak clearly in other contexts when Congress wishes to do something that the Constitution allows. For example, the court will interpret a procedural requirement as jurisdictional only if Congress clearly states that it is. In that context, Congress need not incant magic words, but the traditional tools of statutory construction must plainly show that Congress imbued a procedural bar with jurisdictional consequences. Requiring this showing is driven by the harsh consequences of finding a procedural requirement jurisdictional, even though Congress, of course, maintains the power to impose such consequences. A similar logic drives the clarity required here when reading Section 2255, H, as the government and the dissent do, would close our doors to a class of habeas petitioners. Section 2255. H's cross-reference does not provide the clear indication required to bar this court's review. The language of the cross-reference is both narrow and specific. It says that a second or successive Section 2255 motion must be certified as provided in Section 2244 by a panel of the appropriate Court of Appeals to contain one of two threshold content requirements. The text of the cross-reference does not end at certified as provided in Section 2244, as the dissent would have it. The cross-reference thus appears to incorporate only the provisions in Section 2244 that provide for how a panel of the appropriate Court of Appeals certifies a second or successive filing and directs that those procedures be used to evaluate whether the filing contains the content requirements listed in Section 2255H. Section 2244B is not one of those provisions, and it has nothing to do with the content requirements in Section 2255H. First, the cross-reference speaks to how a panel of the Court of Appeals certifies a filing, but this court is not a panel of the appropriate Court of Appeals, so the cross-reference does not speak to this court's jurisdiction. Second, this court's review, or lack thereof, is not part of how a panel certifies a second or successive filing. Section 2244B identifies that the filing must be certified in the Court of Appeals before an individual can proceed in the district court. Section 2244B requires that a three-judge panel make the certification decision. Section 2244B tells the panel that the filing must make a prima facie showing that it satisfies the relevant gatekeeping requirements. Finally, Section 2244B instructs the panel to decide whether to certify a filing within 30 days of receiving the request. These provisions all describe the procedures that a panel must follow in certifying a second or successive filing and are therefore incorporated by Section 2255H's cross-reference. In stark contrast, the cert bar in Section 2244B says nothing about how the Section 2255 motion must be certified. It instead speaks to what happens after a panel has acted on a certification request, specifically, whether an individual can appeal the panel's certification decision. If the cert bar did not exist, no aspect of how the panel certifies a filing would change. Put simply, the cert bar addresses an entirely different act, filing a cert petition, not certifying a successive motion by an entirely different actor, the prisoner, not the panel, in an entirely different court, this court, not the Court of Appeals. If Congress intended Section 2255H to incorporate this post-certification orange alongside all the panel certification apples in Section 2244B, it did not say so clearly. Of course, as the government and the dissent point out, barring appeals of certification decisions has an effect on the panel's decision by making it conclusive. That effect, however, has little to do with how the motion is certified by a panel. Section 2255H's reference to how the motion must be certified under Section 2244 thus does not incorporate Section 2244B's post-certification bar in the clear manner that Castro requires. Contrary to the dissent's framing, Hahn v. United States, decided in 1998, does not support a different conclusion. That case concerned whether the court had jurisdiction over a decision by a three-judge panel to deny a prisoner a certificate of appealability under Section 2253C and held that the court does have such jurisdiction. Section 2253C applies to federal and state prisoners and dictates that, before an individual can appeal from a district court's denial of a habeas petition, he must secure permission from a circuit justice or judge. Court-appointed amicus in Hohn argued that the decision denying permission was not a case in the Court of Appeals for the purposes of this court's jurisdiction under Section 1254. The court rejected that construction, however, in part because it would have rendered Section 2244B, which the court suggested was a requirement for state prisoners filing second or successive habeas applications under Section 2254, as superfluous. That was because all the reasons amicus gave for why a decision denying a certificate of appealability did not constitute a case for the purposes of Section 1254 would equally have applied to a decision denying authorization to bring a second or successive filing. The court nowhere held that Section 2244B applied to federal prisoners. That is not surprising because the case did not present that question. Nor does the court's holding today render Section 2244B superfluous. As all agree, it bars this court's review of panel authorization decisions concerning motions to file second or successive applications by state prisoners. The dissent also relies on Hahn to argue that it already stands for the proposition that Section 2244 imposes a clear limit on our jurisdiction in this case. Not so. No one disputes that the cert bar clearly deprives the court of jurisdiction over classes of cases to which it applies. What is not clear is whether, through the cross-reference in Section 2255H, Congress intended for that bar to extend to federal prisoners, a point Hahn simply did not address. For these reasons, whether Section 2244B's cert bar falls within the scope of Section 2255H's cross-reference is at most ambiguous. Ambiguous language, however, cannot provide the required clear indication, and the government's and the dissent's remaining arguments do not supply the necessary clarity that the text lacks. To begin, the government contends that there is textual support in Section 2244B for the understanding that the cert bar applies to federal prisoners through the cross-reference. On this score, the government points to how sections under 2244B each use the term second or successive application instead of referring to Section 2254 specifically or state prisoners more generally. This stands in contrast to nearly all the other provisions in Section 2244. In the government's view, this textual variation means that Congress intended for Section 2255H's cross-reference to incorporate any provision in Section 2244 that uses the term second or successive application, and the breadth of the cross-reference therefore must be understood on those terms. If that were so, Section 2255H's cross-reference would also incorporate Section 2244B. That provision directs district courts to review and dismiss any claim presented in a second or successive application that the Court of Appeals has authorized unless the applicant shows that the claim satisfies the requirements of Section 2244. Put differently, once a second or successive application is certified, Section 2244B tells a district court to double-check that the application satisfies Section 2244, including its gatekeeping requirements. Section 2244B, however, plainly falls outside the scope of Section 2255H's cross-reference, because Section 2244B has nothing to do with how a filing is certified as provided in Section 2244 by a panel of the appropriate Court of Appeals. Section 2255H. Thus, accepting the government's argument that Section 2255H's cross-reference should be understood to incorporate any provision in Section 2244 that uses second or successive application would essentially require interpreting Section 2255H to mean a federal prisoner's second or successive motion must conform to all provisions in Section 2244 that are not expressly limited to state prisoners. That, of course, is not what Section 2255H says. The government also points to part of Section 2244B that does speak to a panel of a court of appeals. Specifically, Section 2244B says that an authorization decision shall not be the subject of a petition for rehearing, thereby barring panel rehearing. According to the government, because Section 2244B speaks to the panel in some regard, Section 2255H must have intended to incorporate that provision in its entirety. The government is wrong, however, that the cert bar is incorporated in this way. Whether Section 2244B paragraph E's panel rehearing bar applies to federal prisoners says little, and certainly nothing clear, about whether Congress intended Section 2244B's separate cert bar to extend to authorization decisions concerning federal prisoners. Using the former to incorporate the latter is the kind of jurisdiction stripping by implication that cannot suffice. Next, the government argues that allowing appeals from a panel certification decision to this court is inconsistent with Section 2244B. That provision, which all agree is covered by Section 2255H's cross-reference, imposes a 30-day clock on a panel certification decision after a litigant seeks authorization. Though most courts of appeals view that requirement as advisory, when an individual seeks cert, on the other hand, he has 90 days from the date of decision to file a petition in this court. This court's Rule 13.1, the government suggests that the 30-day limit for panel review indicates that Congress wanted the certification decision to occur quickly, and that allowing prisoners to seek cert for an additional 90 days after the panel review concludes would thwart that intention. The government's argument is misguided. Nothing about the court's decision today undermines Section 2244B's timeline for the panel's authorization decision, nor is this inference so compelling as to provide the needed clarity to cut off the court's jurisdiction. It is entirely plausible that Congress intended to require panels to move quickly while still preserving the prisoner's ability to seek further review in the rare case that warrants this court's attention. See Section 2266, placing time limits on the initial review of capital cases in the lower courts, but placing no limits on this court's review. Panels will still have the tools needed, moreover, to facilitate that quick review under the court's interpretation of Section 2255H's cross-reference. From here, the government resorts to another structural argument. The cert bar is found in Section 2244B's fifth subparagraph. Everyone agrees that Section 2255H's cross-reference incorporates the preceding four subparagraphs. The government maintains that it would be odd that Congress intended to incorporate four of those subparagraphs and not all five. If Congress had intended for all five to travel together, however, it did not say so explicitly. That would have been easy to do. Congress simply could have referenced Section 2244B specifically, rather than broadly referencing Section 2244 with a narrow cross-reference only specifying how a second or successive filing is certified by a panel. Congress did not. The language it used instead supports the understanding that the provisions the cross-reference incorporates turn on their substance, not where they sit in a list. As explained, the cert bar does not clearly fall within the scope of the cross-reference on its own terms. Finally, the government invokes a practical concern. The government suggests that it would make little sense to bar cert review of authorization decisions concerning state prisoners, but not federal ones. That argument carries little weight when the governing standard requires Congress to speak clearly. It also misses the mark. Congress treated state and federal prisoners differently across AEDPA, with state prisoners often facing far higher hurdles to relief. To name a few examples, the statutory requirements for second or successive filings for federal and state prisoners are not identical. Gonzales v. Crosby, decided in 2005, Compare sections 2244B with sections 2255H. Indeed, the requirements for federal prisoners are more lenient, as explained in detail below. Further, for state prisoners alone, Congress requires exhaustion, sections 2254B and C, and then, once in federal court, mandates deference to both the state court's application of federal law and its factual determinations, section 2254D. This differential treatment exists for good reason. Congress enacted AEDPA to further the principles of comity, finality, and federalism. The Act recognizes a foundational principle of our federal system. State courts are adequate forums for the vindication of federal rights. Out of respect for state courts and their ability to adjudicate claims of constitutional wrong, AEDPA erected a formidable barrier to federal habeas relief for state prisoners. Federal courts will not lightly conclude that a state's criminal justice system has experienced the deep-stream malfunctions for which federal habeas relief is the remedy. See Green v. Fisher, decided in 2011, observing that the purpose of AEDPA is to ensure that federal habeas review of state court proceedings does not function as a means of error correction. Comity and federalism, however, fall away when a federal court reviews a federal judgment. By the time a federal prisoner looks to file a second or successive motion, moreover, he will have had fewer bites at the apple and fewer courts reviewing his case than most state prisoners in the same position. Although the federal government has an interest in finality too, no legislation pursues its purposes at all costs. Allowing further review in this court is thus consistent with both AEDPA's purposes and practical considerations. At bottom, the government's arguments suggest that Section 2255H's cross-reference might include Section 2244B's cert bar. They do not, however, provide the necessary clear indication that Congress intended to close our doors to a class of habeas petitioners seeking review. Absent such clear indication, federal prisoners are not prohibited from seeking cert from a panel's denial of authorization to file a second or successive motion. Turning now to the merits upon which the court granted cert, Bowe and the government agree that the 11th Circuit erred by applying Section 2244B to Bowe's request for authorization to file a second or successive motion to vacate under Section 2255H. The court appointed Kasten M. Mitchell as amicus curiae to argue in support of the 11th Circuit's position. She has ably discharged her responsibilities. The court nevertheless agrees with the parties and holds that Section 2244B does not apply to motions filed by federal prisoners under Section 2255H. The contrary decision of the 11th Circuit is vacated. Begin with the text. Section 2244B states that a claim presented in a second or successive habeas corpus application under Section 2254 that was presented in a prior application shall be dismissed. State prisoners alone file habeas corpus applications under Section 2254. See Section 2254A, noting that Section 2254 is limited to a person in custody pursuant to the judgment of a state court. See also Magwood v. Patterson, decided in 2010, holding the requirement of custody pursuant to a state court judgment distinguishes Section 2254 from other statutory provisions authorizing relief from constitutional violations, such as Section 2255, which allows challenges to the judgments of federal courts. This specific reference to Section 2254 was deliberate. Elsewhere in this very section, Section 2244 acknowledges Section 2255. See sections in 2253C, distinguishing a final order in a habeas corpus proceeding in which the detention complained of arises out of process issued by a state court from one in a proceeding under Section 2255. A cardinal rule of statutory interpretation teaches that when we're engaged in the business of interpreting statutes, we presume differences in language like this convey differences in meaning. Thus, by its plain terms, Section 2244B's old claim bar applies only to state prisoners. Nor does Section 2255H's cross-reference to Section 2244 otherwise make Section 2244B applicable to second or successive motions filed by federal prisoners. Amicus, as well as the dissent, however, argues that it does. As they see it, Section 2255H incorporates Section 2244, including Section 2244B. Section 2244B paragraph C, in turn, requires a panel to determine that the application makes a prima facie, showing that it satisfies the requirements of this subsection. From here, one of the requirements of the subsection is Section 2244B. Following this chain of cross-references where it leads, amicus and the dissent say, Section 2244B must apply to federal prisoners. The reasoning why this court has jurisdiction also shows the error in this position. Section 2255H's cross-reference incorporates the procedures in Section 2244 only as they relate to how a panel certifies a second or successive filing. It then tells the panel to use those procedures to evaluate whether the federal prisoner's second or successive motion contains either newly discovered evidence, Section 2255H, or a new rule of constitutional law. Nothing in Section 2255H suggests that it incorporates Section 2244 for any other purposes. Thus, by its terms, Section 2255H's cross-reference does not incorporate the content requirements contained in Section 2244, like Section 2244B's old claim bar. Amicus and the dissent's broad reading of Section 2244B would also put Section 2255 on a collision course with Section 2244. Section 2244B imposes two limitations on the content of a second or successive habeas application. Subsection B, which bars old claims and prescribes two grounds in which a claim not previously raised can proceed in a second or successive application, on which amicus relies, requires individuals to satisfy all the requirements of this subsection. The upshot of amicus's argument would therefore be that Section 2255H incorporates not only Section 2244B's old claim bar, but also Section 2244B's substantive gatekeeping requirements for new claims. Section 2255H, however, contains its own substantive requirements that are irreconcilable with those in Section 2244B. In particular, Section 2255H permits a second or successive Section 2255 motion if the petitioner identifies newly discovered evidence that, if proven and viewed in light of the evidence as a whole, would be sufficient to establish by clear and convincing evidence that no reasonable fact finder would have found the movant guilty of the offense. Section 2244B also concerns claims based on new facts, but it is more limited than Section 2255's in two ways. First, it confines the new facts exception to scenarios in which the new facts could not have been discovered previously through the exercise of due diligence. Second, it requires that the movant show by clear and convincing evidence that, but for constitutional error, no reasonable fact finder would have found the applicant guilty of the underlying offense. If Congress had incorporated Section 2244B's more stringent exception into Section 2255H, then Section 2255H's more lenient exception would become a dead letter. Because Congress presumably does not enact useless laws, it makes no sense to read Section 2255H's cross-reference in this way. Recognizing the problem with this position, amicus, and the dissent attempt to limit the scope of requirements of this subsection in Section 2244B to capture only those content requirements in Section 2244B that do not conflict with Section 2255H. Congress intended for the substantive gatekeeping requirements in Section 2244B to apply to federal prisoners by default, unless they deviated from those requirements in Section 2255H. To amicus, the new facts exception illustrates this approach. This argument, however, is undercut by the fact that in Section 2244B and Section 2255H, Congress repeated verbatim the standard for when a second or successive filing can proceed based on a new retroactive rule of constitutional law. If Section 2244B already provided the default rule, there would have been no need for Congress to repeat it in Section 2255H, rendering its inclusion mere surplusage. At bottom, the best textual reading of both Section 2255H and Section 2244B is that when a federal prisoner moves for authorization, a panel can authorize the filing if it satisfies one of the two grounds in Section 2255H, the two, and only two, conditions in which a second or successive Section 2255 motion may proceed. Amicus's remaining non-textual arguments do not change this conclusion. She contends that Section 2244B is a necessary tool, indeed central, for panels to meet Section 2244B's 30-day deadline, and that Congress therefore must have intended for it to apply in all cases in which authorization is needed. That logical leap lacks sufficient foundation. For one, it is not clear why searching through case files to see if the litigant has raised a claim before is any easier than determining whether the litigant has identified new evidence or a new rule of constitutional law that is retroactive. As the parties explain, it seems just as likely that the panel's obligation to assess only whether a filing has made a prima facie showing that it satisfies Section 2255H's content requirements. And not to undertake a more searching inquiry on the merits is what facilitates the 30-day deadline. Amicus certainly provides no evidence to suggest that her hypothesis is the more plausible one. Regardless, Amicus's speculation as to Congress's intent in enacting the old claim bar and 30-day deadline cannot replace the actual text Congress enacted. Amicus further argues that Congress meant for AEDPA to treat second or successive filings by federal and state prisoners the same. As already explained, however, AEDPA is replete with examples of Congress treating state and federal prisoners differently, including in the context of limitations on second or successive filings. Some courts, including the 11th Circuit below, have relied on this policy justification, and others like it, in applying Section 2244B to bar second or successive motions filed by federal prisoners under Section 2255H. See, for example, Baptiste decided in 2016 that held, "It would be odd indeed if Congress had intended to allow federal prisoners to refile precisely the same non-meritorious motions over and over again while denying that right to state prisoners." Those courts erred. Purposive arguments simply cannot overcome the force of the plain text. Any concern associated with Congress allowing old claim repeat litigation for federal prisoners, moreover, is overstated. All claims, even the repeat ones, must meet the strictly limited threshold requirements of Section 2255H, and should they survive that review, they must still conform with the demanding statute of limitations contained in Section 2255F. Very few claims will satisfy either, let alone both. Ultimately, there is no reason to doubt that Congress said what it meant, and meant what it said in Section 2244B and Section 2255H. For these reasons, Section 2244B does not apply to second or successive motions filed by federal prisoners challenging their convictions or sentences under Section 2255H. The court leaves it to the 11th Circuit to determine in the first instance whether Bo should receive authorization to file a second or successive motion under the correct standard. The judgment below is vacated, and the case is remanded for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. It is so ordered.